time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Christine Cunningham and Sherlock. Christine Cunningham is Executive Director of Roots Young Adult Shelter, and Sherlock is a soon-to-be former guest at Roots Young Adults Shelter. And wanna Christine and Sherlock, thank you both for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start out. Tell us, what is Roots Young Adult Shelter?
Roots Young Adult Shelter is a shelter that pretty much gives youth a place that is safe and where they can actually get supported. They actually get a meal. They get a mat for a bed. But on top of that, they also get respect that they actually seek and want. They actually... But right behind those blue doors is, like, something miraculous happens. Like, just recently, they just did the YMCA housing program just for Roots guests. So, that means they actually have the next step if they want to take that step.
Expand on that a bit. Talk about what that next step would be. What is that program?
Well, the next step was, well... See, if they're used to being in a shelter and they felt like they stayed there for an ultra long time, I stayed there for about 3 years, and say they want to find more, like more use of what they want to do, like find a house or find a job. They can do that here because they have resources that they can actually utilize and find out, like, okay, so here's this job, and, you know, it pays, you know, this much money. Or what you can do is go to this program, which does job training, and you get paid just a little bit more. So either way, they actually have choices. They always will have those choices. It's not like a regular shelter, like, I'm going to throw in DESC for real quick, where, like, they're like, a sardine into a small space. I say that we only have 35 people, which actually is about to expand like to 40. Is that right?
45.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And everybody there, I mean, the atmosphere, I'm gonna flat out say it, it's like it's very calming, relaxing. Everybody sits down. They crack. You know, we sit down, no meal at two different tables. We write cracks jokes. We laugh. And when I was at DESC, I felt like I was not part of it. It was like the atmosphere felt like it was just Tweakerville. I'm going to put that there, like try to be politically correct here. And I looked at the people's faces, and they looked like they were like, their mind was out in like Neptune or something like that. And I came to Roots, and I go by atmosphere, how they treat the people and everything like that. And everything just like fell into place. Mm-hmm. And now when I took that next step, I actually, and now I'm a student at Fair Start. And also next week I'm going to get housing at Home of Hope. So it took me, ever since I took initiative of taking the next step, a month due to all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I said, when people feel ready, which I did, I mean, they actually will get that support, and they also will actually find a way to achieve their goal.
And one thing that's unique, I mean, he's talking about how the adult shelters are different than Roots. As a lot of people, when they think of a shelter, they think of, oh, it's just a temporary place to stay at night. But young people, even though they're looking for a temporary place to stay at night, they're really thinking about what's next for them, typically in terms of proving themselves to the world, right? And so, like Sherlock said, when you're ready to take that next step, we want to have those resources available. We have on-site case managers 6 nights of the week. We have these straight into housing program kind of connections with youth care and the YMCA. So that when they're ready, there shouldn't be, hopefully, anything in the way, even though these guys are working up against some pretty big systemic barriers. We did some data comparison with the adult shelters, and we ask everybody at the adult shelters and at Roots, where did you sleep last night? And the sad news is that young adults are 5 times more likely to answer places unfit for human habitation. So in other words, we're doing a better job with people over 18 having adult shelters for them, like he's talking about the downtown folks. Those guys are going between shelter and shelter. The young people would rather sleep outside than put up with the all-ages shelter. They need shelters specific to their needs. And 18% of them currently have access to that shelter.
And why don't the all-age shelters really support young people? What's the problem there?
The problem there is that they don't have the proper resources for people that are, like, youth, 18 and 25. They actually have, like, older resources, like veterans, pretty much, like, I'm a put, like, 30 to, like, 65, they target that age group, but they don't. All they do for youth is that they just, like, house us. That's it. We're just, how to really put this without getting yelled at. Like, we were just, like, a number to them.
Well, and I've had adult shelter providers tell me, oh, I'm so glad I can send my people to Roots because we can't handle them at our shelter. And it's like, well, what do you mean you can't handle them? Well, you know, those young people, they're just a little bit more rowdy. It's just like, thank you for sending us your rowdies. But I think it's true that when you're that age, you want to be around people your age. And Roots, between the people who stay there and our college volunteers, you're around people your age. And it's like a giant young person's slumber party every night.
Are there any safety issues being in an adult shelter?
No, there's hardly any safety issues.
I was asking about the adult shelters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say there are some safety issues at the adult shelters. I remember when I stayed at DESC, they gave me a bunk. Like, that was way too small for me. Like, I would literally go my head on one end, my feet on the other end. And it was pretty old, so I was like, I'm like, oh, great, so if I collapse, it's not gonna be my fault. And on top of that, there was no railings on Dump Punk either, so like, oh, so if I fall, either way I'm gonna hit the floor. And another safety issue I would really point out is, like, it's a really mixed atmosphere with people just staring at you. It's like, if you get that awkward feeling, it's like, you know, like, you know, like, they sit there in the corner and all they do is just stare like this, like they don't even blink, and you're like, oh man, that's really awkward. And like, you don't know how to approach it. Mm-hmm. But then when you're at Roots, it's completely different. Like they come in, they're like, oh hey, how's it going, you know, and like they actually greet you and they actually sit down, have a dinner with you, and they actually talk. It was like, it's mm-hmm. like, I remember my first time when I actually came down. I was like, oh, a shelter. Oh, great. You know, like, I was thinking, okay, so this is going to be, like, you know, a place temporary. You know, and they get you, like, a number. I was dead wrong. I mean, they treated me with such open arms. I didn't even know how to respond. I didn't even know what to say. But during that time, you know, I remember that a lot of people said when I was there that I grew and blossomed. And what makes it even better is that, you know, I mean, I've tried leaving a positive impact for other young adults to see, is that they're also actually taking the initiative of actually trying to actually utilize the resources, utilize what they have in front of them, and to actually grow and blossom and actually, you know, have a better situation. Unlike, you know, the adult shelters where, like, they're like, I mean, I'll give an example of when I was trying to utilize resources at DESC, and they're like, oh, you're just 19 years old. We don't have anything for you except for, like, you know, this little 3-sheet form. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay, that's great. So I read it, and it's like, it was nothing.
Yeah.
When I came to Roots, I'm like, I want to see some resources, you know, because I want to utilize them. They gave me like a packet about thick. I was like, oh, wow.
About an inch thick.
Yeah.
I mean, for our radio listeners.
Yeah, yeah, about an inch thick. Yeah, I was like.
Yeah.
When I read it, I was like, it was very good. Like, they have housing for young adults, transitional housing. They have, you know, job listings for people around our age and everything like that. It was like, oh, this is awesome. Because, mm-hmm. like, most people don't see this. And then my case manager, God bless her heart, at UDYC, she actually recommended me to go to Fair Start. And that's where I've been starting to actually blossom there, too.
So, Christine, talk about some of the about the services Roots provide and the some of the reasons that people would our youth young people are on the street mm-hmm. in the first place.
Right. Well, I mean, I think Sherlock did a great job on the services. The only thing I had would throw in there is that we also do showers and do, you know, like he said, kind of try to build relationships between the volunteers who help out there. Most of the people who supervise Roots are volunteers. We're a very volunteer-heavy organization, which allows us to have a very untypical ratio. We have a lot, like typically like a 1-to-7 ratio between the people who stay there and the people who are helping run the place. So you actually get to know folks at Roots. Why folks have to come to Roots really varies. We have people who are there because they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, questioning, queer, intersex. We found that these guys are twice as likely to be out on the streets as their straight peers because of problems at home, much more likely to get assaulted once they're on the streets. So these guys are definitely at risk. They account for up to 40% of our shelter at any given time. We have folks who are graduates of foster care. And I used to work in foster care. Actually, that's one of the things that first attracted me to homeless youth because I just saw how messed up our foster care system was. I was the lady that drove around in a car and would pick up the rejected foster kids and take them to a new foster home. And my job was to show up, I kid you not, with a bunch of trash bags, pack up their stuff in the trash bags and take them to another home. To a family that had never met them before, knew nothing about them, and vice versa, the young person knew nothing about this family. And it was a painful job. And we have data that basically suggests that if you hit your 18th birthday while a ward of the state, you have a 40% chance of homelessness in the next 3 years. And that's just not okay that we're doing this to our young people. Other reasons people find us, they are survivors of abusive or very negligent parents. One study suggests that 50% of the people who are homeless as young people had parents who either didn't care or were just pretty dismissive of that person. I get a phone call every now and then from a parent saying, hey, can you take my daughter? And it's just, you know, as a parent, it's very hard for me to be sympathetic. I try to steer them to resources that will help keep the family together. But ultimately, the answer is yes, we'll take your kid if that's what we need to do.
And describe the, because I got to watch this, describe the typical evening when people are lining up to get a bed.
So there's one of two ways. You can call in. Or you can show up in person. I usually show up in person, even though I have a working cell phone. But the reason being is I have worked my way to be a guest leader, so I have to be there before 8:30. But when people show up, and I actually noticed there's a roof in front of the door now. I wonder when that came in. That came really nice last night because it was starting to rain, so that was sweet. We usually just stand there and, you know, that we start talking outside, you know, like, you know, hey, how's your day? You know, everything like that. And, you know, we'll start building the rapport for a relationship, you know, for seeing our friends that we haven't seen during the day. And usually when the list comes out, you know, people say, you know, their name or if the program coordinator knows the person well enough, they're like, they can look at the face, like, oh, okay, you're here, so I'll just write you down already. And usually, on top of that, they decide to, last night there was no lotto, thankfully, and,
why don't you describe what the lotto means?
Okay, a lotto, for those who have no idea what it is, and it's not the Washington State one, William and Money. I mean, trust me, I wished it was that way. It'd be nice. Like, oh, you win, okay, you pull out number 37, okay,
congratulations, you get $1 million.
Joe Schmo gets, $500. Apparently, that's not how it goes. Reality of the fact is what we call it lotto, because, it's like a lottery, we take chips with numbers, we throw them into an old butter container, believe it or not. Go Country Rock. and we actually mix them up and we draw numbers to see who does not get in. And I really throw the emphasis on the not because they're like, okay, so, I mean, well, let's throw, for instance, this actually happened to me. They picked out my number. All of a sudden, next thing I know, it was fourth person on Lotto, Sherlock. I was like, oh no. So I'm like, but usually I got lucky because I stayed after second call and I counted four. So I'm like, yes, I'm getting in. Yeah. And so on top of that, so most people that do get in, they're grateful. But most people that don't get in, I've seen the worst reactions. Like, I've seen people, how to put it this, literally blow up, like having a fit because they didn't get to, because they were expecting to get in. And yeah, I mean, all but the thing is, the Roots tried to accommodate by giving them a meal, a bus ticket, and a blanket, and recommendations to other youth shelters, which is The Landing, and also Orion Center.
And what's sad is Roots is the largest of the young adult shelters, so those other places are typically full. We will call them and say, hey, we got some people to send over, and they'll be, no, we're already full. Last year, for every five times a young person tried to get into our shelter, there was one of those times that we had to turn them away. I mean, that was the ratio last year. So far this year, we're at 1 out of 10. Because we have been growing and adding more capacity. So like you said, we're going to go up to 45 guests by the end of the year. And really looking forward to getting a lot of public support to make that possible because, that kind of makes our expenses go up a little bit to help those extra guests.
Yeah, you're almost doubling your beds, aren't you?
Right. Pretty much. It's a 65% capacity increase.
And how many, you just said there's three youth shelters for the greater Seattle area?
For King County.
King County?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. There's only three.
There's the Auburn is trying to open one, last I heard. But again, if you look at the one-night count that they did just for youth and young adults in May, we are only helping out 18% of the people who aren't stably housed with our shelter system currently. So basically, we're doing a better job with the adults than we are with the young people for some strange reason. We really need more beds.
Although we're not particularly doing a great job with adults.
No.
To put it mildly.
No, unfortunately, our shelters have become a little bit of a warehousing system for the adults. So,
can you, I meant to ask you about this before, can you talk about the Becca Law and the effects that has had on our homeless situation?
Yeah, well, let me give you the background for people who haven't heard of Becca before. A 13-year-old was tragically killed in Spokane, who was a runaway. And her parents were so outraged around how they had no rights to track down their errant daughter that this law was put into effect that basically gave the parents and the police the right to say, hey, this is a runaway, you're harboring a runaway, and you need to contact CPS or the parents. When the law was written, the idea was that there'd be these secure centers to send these troubled young people to so that there could be some support for the young person and some family mediation. Well, those secure crisis centers weren't funded. So now we just have the law that says, hey, if you're under 18, you are considered a runaway. You know, the state or the parents could come after a shelter who takes them in or a service provider who has them in their care for more than 24 hours. I could be held liable for harboring a runaway. And so what we've trained people under 18 to do is we've trained them to rely on sexual predators and friends and anybody who's not affiliated with the legal system, right, who's a mandated reporter, and they can't actually come to a shelter like Roots until they're 18. So it's really sad. And I know a young man who actually grew up in Walla Walla, had a great support system there, had a lot of friends. His, you know, he's kind of light on family support. His mom adopted him when he was quite young. And when he was away at summer camp, I think he must have been like 15 years old, she married some guy that he had never met. He came back from summer camp, like, here's your new stepdad. And it didn't go well, needless to say. But she still wanted to control his life. She still wanted to have say-so over him. So she called up all of his friends and said, if you let my son sleep on your couch, and the parents too, she told them all of this, I will call the cops on you. And so basically, he could no longer live in his town. He could no longer go to his school. He was either needing to be under, quote, the rules under the roof, or he had to flee Walla Walla, and he chose to leave Walla Walla ultimately. So it's really a bad legislation that our state really struggles with.
So do we need to nix that legislation entirely?
Or? Either that, or we need to have more support for families in crisis so that the young person has a safe place to stay while there's some investigation about if their home is a safe and welcoming environment for them, especially with young people who are coming out for the first time as sexual minorities. I mean, we need more places for those young people to go.
What support are you getting from our government, if any?
We are actually the proud beneficiaries of City of Seattle funding. The Human Services Department provides about 40% of our operating budget before we grew. Now that we're growing, that number is getting smaller. And we get a little bit of county funds for the meal programs. And we also just recently received some state funds for this YMCA housing project. The state just committed a $1 million grant to a two-year pilot project. That's basically half of that's going to subsidizing housing so that you have 2 years of housing and at first your rent is completely paid for. And by the end of the 2 years, you have a larger fraction that you're paying. So that's really a great partnership that we have with the YMCA to have their case managers come to our shelter and help folks find housing directly out of our shelter.
But otherwise, the rest of your support comes from individuals, private individuals?
Yep, just kind of like the station, you know, people like you. Yep.
So talk about, in addition to one making, let's say, a monetary contribution to your organization, mm-hmm. what other ways can people support Roots?
We would love to have more volunteers. As you hear from Sherlock, it's really important when you come in the door to have people greet you, people who are interested in getting to know you and spend time with you. So we have a lot of different volunteer positions, both in the evening and in the morning. People can go to our website, click on the volunteer tab at www.rootsinfo.org. Find out all about volunteering. It's a life-changing experience getting to know these young people. They're pretty amazing. Other things that they could do is, you know, they could help us by donating materials. We always need more body wash and shampoo, and right now we're out of deodorant and razors, I believe. You know, it's really supportive to help people be clean as they go out into their days.
So, and do you have a list of those items on your website?
That's also on our website.
So you're looking for new...
Toiletries.
Mm-hmm. What about like clothing, anything like that?
Well, our space is really limited on clothes right now because we felt it was more important to grow the shelter than to grow our clothing bank. So what we mostly need for clothes right now are socks, brand new socks.
New socks. Can never have too many new socks.
Yeah.
And then the volunteers, do they go through any training?
Yes, we do not only a two-hour volunteer orientation so they understand shelter operations, but we also do a three-hour conflict de-escalation training so they know how to break up fights non-violently.
Something we could all use.
Actually, I went through those, both the volunteer orientation and the conflict de-escalation, because I'm actually not just a former guest. I will actually be a former guest leader. So What that means is that, yeah, I'm a guest, but I actually am in a position as a volunteer, mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so like when a new guest comes in, we say, hey, Sherlock, would you show them around?
I'd be like, sure, I don't see why not. Because, you know, like they come in, they might, I know a new person when I see it. Okay, I'm going to flat out say it. They look
green.
They look really, well, I was going to say yellow.
Oh, still, yellow.
Because, I mean, they look really, really scared. Like, you know, they just want to be quiet. And they're like, you know, they're like, they want to stay in the corner. I've actually seen this, you know, so like, I know the behavior, like, and they usually hint to me, like, hey, we have some new people, so would you mind going to greet them and see what happens? I'm like, that's fine. So I come over here. I actually, you know, I just walk over, not, like, stomp, you know, because I'm over 6 foot, so what? But I casually walk over, and I ask them, are you new? And they usually say yes. And I'm like, welcome to Roots. I am Sherlock. And that's actually where it starts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the look on their face is just, I always get it. Because it's like, because they're thinking, oh man, he's huge. He's going to be mean. I may look mean, but I'm going to be the nicest guy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they looked at me. You know, I mean, I actually had one person cry a tear. And it was not a tear of sadness. It was a tear of joy.
And they're so worried about their safety, and they have right to be. I mean, if they don't make it into a safe place, they are very likely to be victimized, especially as young women. Young women who hit the streets for the first time have a 40% assault chance in the next few weeks. It's just awful. So to have a warm greeting is just really critical. Say, no, it's okay. You're in a safe place. We're going to take care of you here. It's a really important and needed message.
It is very needed. I mean, and when I talk to new people, I ask them where you've been and everything like that. I've heard so many horrible things. Like, actually, there was one of them that was actually, who actually decided to get out of trafficking, sex trafficking. And she said, you know, blank you, and just left. Mm. And she ran, and she found Roots. And I was like, well, I'm happy that you're here because just let you know, this place is not just a shelter. It's also a sanctuary. Because here, you know, you can actually make friends. And I've actually seen her grow like crazy. I mean, I've seen her like make plenty of friends. She mm-hmm. has so many friends. I vaguely remember her name, but I remember she went from like being scared to like, you know, like of men, to actually having friends that are male and female. I was like, that is awesome. I was so happy when I saw that. Because it was a slow process, but I mean, it's a great example of how youth can grow and also get over their fears.
Mm-hmm. Where is, we only got about a minute left. Tell people who aren't familiar, where is Roots located? How can they find out more about your...
We are in the U District, in a church basement right next to the post office on 43rd and 15th. Again, our website is a great way to get those directions and information about our next volunteer orientation. That's www.rootsinfo.org. And, we would love to have volunteers come by. We would also love to show people the shelter. We're really proud of it. We just put $500,000 into making it bigger and better and have more showers and lockers for people. So I would love to show folks around.
Is there a phone number? Because some of our listeners do not have internet access.
Okay, sure. Thanks for that, Mike. It's 206-632-1635. That's the Roots landline. Again, that's 206-632-1635.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both very much for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
You.